Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Branding Brews on this special series called Freshly Wrapped. Again, to kind of recap, if you haven't listened to part one of this, go back and check that out. But for those of you maybe haven't, Freshly Wrapped, an inside look at label branding strategies. And this is it's going to be a special educational seminar going on at the California Craft Beer Summit. And we had the opportunity to work with the California Craft Brewers Association to put on this label branding seminar. And we wanted to just kind of take a deep dive, kind of branding strategy look at creating a special, you know, core line beer for a couple of breweries. I was fortunate enough to work with our good friend Nick Longo, who's in Southern California. I thought he was the perfect fit for this. So Nick's joining us today. What's up, Eddie? How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me again, dude. This has been a blast.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I feel like you've been a good friend of the show. You know, been along the way. We both have, you know, a good number of beer clients, and you do a lot of work in the kind of food and beverage space and obviously brand strategy. So I think it was a great fit, man. I'm just glad you're around to do this.
Thanks, man. And thanks for inviting me along on this, because it's been, we've been working on it for a few months now and we're almost there. It's kind of cool that we're getting there and getting to do a little retrospect on it, which is obviously a good spot to be in, you know, at this point. But it really was, for me, a really good exercise to not only go through the process that we typically do, but like keeping in mind that we're going to share this was always in the back of my mind. And that's what I'm really excited about doing. I think your idea to turn this into a podcast episode is great for those people that unfortunately can't make it to, you know, the Long Beach event, but here we're kind of wrapping it up and kind of giving you some insight audio on how we did it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Thanks, man. Yeah, if you can't make it, I think we're hoping to deliver some sort of kind of insights as far as like what we did
and yeah,
kind of some of the steps we took along the way to get there. Man. And so, so Nick and I both partnered with two different breweries that were in different stages, but the main focus was to develop a brand strategy for some sort of packaging, which these days ended up being cans, which, you know, totally makes sense. So Trademark Brewing is a brand new brewery down in Southern California in Long Beach, and I was working with Big Stump, which is based out of Sacramento, with a new tap room opening up in Napa. Yeah, we've got a couple interviews with each of these folks to kind of dig into the process we went in. Why don't you kind of give a little bit of a overview, you know, before we jump into these interviews about your process, you know, with Trademark. And I think like you mentioned just a second ago, I think it's great that we were able to do this in a way that's like they're kind of like a client, but it's not like, you know, we're doing this knowing we're going to be presenting it to people. So yeah. I think we've kind of had more like a fine tooth comb, but in a way that really kind of actually helps you focus on the process. So that's great.
Yeah.
Go into a little bit about how things were going with Trademark and like kind of just what you did in regards to setting this all up and the design and the branding strategy stuff.
Yeah. When we first met, and I met with both Sterling and Ilana over at Trademark, they're based in Long Beach here. We got to just kind of understand, and we did it all in the brewery, which was great. And like I said earlier, I think it was about a month away from being opened. So it was pretty far along, but it was just enough to get the capture kind of what they wanted and their vibe and everything about it. And that's certain things I think sometimes you just can't make up for unless you do it live and you sit down with the person. And if you can't, maybe, you know, Skype with them or get some human touch there when you're talking about the actual brewery and what it means. And once I gave them my questionnaire, what was great was we pulled from that and kind of summed it up almost in like a cliff note version. That's kind of like part of the process that I like to do. And that way it becomes more of almost a contract that once they approve, then the designs and the options are created. So we know we are in tune with what we've all agreed on. And that way I feel like this the actual concepts that come out of it are so much more successful because we really did dig deep and we get into things like the brand ethos and the brand pillars. What's the most important things, even sometimes summing it up into just single words. And that way it's crystal clear. So when you are doing things like we had some really great copy that came out of the discovery that's actually on the can because it was just the way we were describing it. I think naturally, sometimes and organically, some of the best ideas come from these sessions where you're sitting down with them. And if you highlight something, chances are that could be something to use, you know, in the artwork, in the design later down the road. You know,
yeah.
Did you find the same thing?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I kind of wanted to actually back up a second and kind of have you go into a little bit more there.
Yeah.
So you kind of, I guess, one, you know, about how long did that process take for you? Because it seems like that was all just kind of research and strategy part. And then can you maybe just like quickly kind of dig into the idea of like the brand ethos you mentioned for those that may not be kind of familiar with that idea?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So it took a little time. I like to kind of digest everything that you get from that initial meeting and from their questionnaire. I took it into kind of that cliff note version by kind of condensing it down to where we had, I'm trying to think what we started with. We started with the brand ethos, and as specific as we got, it was, these were some of the pillars. We said we wanted the brand to have a bold elegance. We wanted it to have a subtle sophistication. We didn't want it to look too highbrow, but we also didn't want it to look value, you know, or super, super low tier. So it was this idea of like a nudge above normal, just subtle enough that it's sophisticated, and this elevated appeal. Those were kind of keywords that we were, you know, writing down. And one of the things we did too, my favorite thing to do is to pick an archetype that we feel the brand represents the most. And it's usually driven by the client. I can help them along the way, but Trademark picked the creator as the brand archetype. And that archetype is considered the visionary. They're the nonconformist. They love new ideas and making things happen. So these kind of things were written down, even things like they have a great quote saying the worst thing that could happen to a creator would be to see an inauthentic or a sellout, you know? And when you say that as a quote, the client hears that and goes, that's exactly who we don't want to be, right? We never want to be a sellout. We never want to be unauthentic. So it helps now when we are defining what it's going to be, we can go back to this deck and say, does it meet all the qualifications, you know, of what we agreed Trademark would be, you know? And, yeah. and even as much as they came to this meeting, so like they understand design, they appreciate design, they appreciate the brand so much, much more than most, I'd say, like business people getting into this field. It was neat to see that not only did they have their stuff before we spoke, but we took it and almost blossomed it to something bigger and better based on the same DNA that they had already had. So it was just a way to kind of enhance everything that was already there and just put it on paper and be more specific with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Yeah. It's like, you know, this whole kind of strategy part going into it, you know, like, you know, there's situations where, you know, you look at something like, oh, we need a label design. You're like, oh, cool. All right, let's design something that looks awesome. Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. You know, and then like, you know, a month later, 3 weeks later, whatever, you've got this label, you're like, oh yeah, this looks awesome. This is great. And then, you know, 4, 6 months, a year later, you know, you might look back at that and be like, I thought that was really cool at the time, but I don't know if I'm really feeling it now.
Exactly.
You know, and that could be driven by trends, or it could just be driven by, you know, something just kind of can get old after a while. But the idea of doing this strategy part is that everything we kind of like design is then tied back to an actual meaning behind something that represents the brand. So, you know, when you go back to look at that later, you're like, you know, like, no, like, I, you know, I still like it for this reason, because this color matches this particular meaning of the brand, or, you know, the choice of the fonts, you know, ties back to this specific, you know, brand ethos or whatever. And it all like has meaning behind it. So, you know, and then you can also tell that story, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To other people. Yeah, man. So yeah, I had a very similar, similar process like you had mentioned, you know, but it's going to be cool to see the different, you know, different subtleties in that. And yeah, with Big Sump, they were, I had mentioned before, had not done much of any branding in regards to any sort of like brand values or, you know, pillars or anything like that. Hadn't even really developed much of a kind of like brand story. So it was really fun working with them, kind of unpacking that a bit.
Oh yeah, I bet.
You know, yeah. And yours is a brand new business. So that's like a totally different situation, where Big Stump, they had been open for 3 years. They had been they've been successful. So they've been doing stuff right, you know?
Yeah.
But now they're ready to kind of start developing that brand, so that when they start expanding into Napa, into the shelves and stores, that they can have some sort of like, you know, strong branding. So it was cool, man. Yeah. Like we just, we started off with like a questionnaire, interviewing some of their patrons and their employees, kind of just like trying to like get their perspective on what the brand is.
Sure.
And we saw a lot of overlap. So that was great, which means that, you know, that, you know, people are getting the same ideas and the same, you know, understanding of what, who they are.
Yeah.
And then also like, I think with Big Stump, they kind of needed to tease out some stuff, you know, some like who they are, you know, like, you know, why them, like, why are they the people to start this brewery? And like, why are they the people to run this brewery?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really cool too, man. And then like, so that kind of helps kind of started giving us like a foundation of an idea of what we wanted to develop the brand on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then from that point, then we kind of just started developing like a brand persona. And that was really great. Kind of they kind of took the approach of like kind of a customer persona and the different kind of customers that they have coming into their tap room.
Sure.
And, yeah. Right. And then, so from that point, kind of like similar to what you did, laid the foundation of what we wanted to do moving forward in regards to the actual design aesthetic. So from that point, we were able to create, I created these kind of like brand style boards.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of wanted to come up with like a kind of an elevated look, but kind of approachable. Kind of the idea being that they're in downtown Sacramento, close to the Capitol, and they've got a lot of professionals coming in.
Yeah.
But, you know, these professionals, they want to get off work. They want to roll up their sleeves. They want to loosen their tie. On the weekends, they might want to like drive up to Tahoe and go mountain biking or go kayaking or something. Yep. Right. So that kind of like elevated with like a touch of like kind of casual, kind of like adventurous look.
Cool.
So yeah, man. And so we developed a bunch of brand style boards, and one we just ended up choosing was called the Weekender.
I love that name. Kinda, yeah. Isn't it funny how one word can kind of spark the same idea and vision in a lot of people.
Right.
And I think that's one of those words. I love that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was really fun doing that. And it's crazy how you can say something like a specific kind of style,
mm-hmm.
but how you can dissect that, you know, 'cause I took that like elevated, but kind of semi-casual style and like dissected that into a number of different visual like kind of categories. And we were able to like analyze like, and we right away knew which one we wanted. And so that was great. That gave us the direction, and everything again was tied back to this kind of strategy of developing that brand. So like, that was all great.
That's killer.
Yeah, man. Well, sweet, dude. Yeah, I'm excited to get in. Well, we've got these two interviews, with one with Trademark, one with Big Stump, kind of going into these, a bit more of the nitty gritty on these projects.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, man, if anybody out there is going to be attending, the Summit Conference in Long Beach, definitely hope you can stop by. This is the, freshly wrapped seminar, and it's going to be on Thursday, September 12th at 11:35 a.m. If you're going to be there, I hope to see you there. Definitely say hi to Nick and I. We'll be there. and yeah, just also a little plug. I'm going to be on the expo floor, and I helped work with the CCBA on there's a special display section called the Can Land, which is kind of a section on the expo floor that's going to be everything canning, mobile canning, like can lines, can supplies, labels. And then I'm going to be there with Craft Brew Creative, with the custom label booth. So yeah, man, if any of you guys are out there, I'd love to say hi to you, get a chance to meet.
Excellent.
Yeah, man. So, Nick, thanks again for joining me along this journey.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Let's jump into these interviews.
Awesome.
Well, let's get into the project itself and like overall how, you know, we've been doing this now for a matter of a few weeks and we're at a good stage. I think we got to talk later today, but we're pretty solid on what we feel is going to be working. How do you feel this has gone so far? What's your first instincts?
I'm very happy. I think I wear a few different hats because I do have a little bit of that background in the arts. Yes. and I'm almost OCD about stuff like this. So I have to commend you for putting up with me. but you know, I think where we're at right now, we're really, really close. We just had a pallet of crawlers arrive this week.
Yeah.
And we're pretty pleased with those. Seeing certain elements that you and I have discussed in terms of the color palette and the way we're going to use knockouts and things like that, seeing that in the flesh is a little bit of a learning experience. And what's cool about it, thankfully, is that we're in a tuning phase. We're not, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, that tone, that, you know, we're going to avoid that soft peach. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
or whatever it is. So, you know, where we're at right now, I think I call it the fonts and margins. You know, mm-hmm. we've got the text on the paper, and now we just make sure that everything is pretty in the way we want it and just do that final tweaking. And I think we're very, very close.
Yeah. And it's such a good stage to be in, too, because of the, I love when you get a test back and you can see before, you know, I think it's a huge thing to stress to any brewery out there is make sure you're getting the test samples and you're looking at them, you're seeing them live. Don't rely strictly on getting pictures from a vendor or the printer. You know, it's like you got to see these things and take that time to make sure you're getting exactly what you want in that design to come through.
Oh, absolutely. You know? And even just the simple stuff, if you don't have a good high quality color printer, just take it to Kinko's and get it printed and wrap it around a cylinder and see how it actually looks in the flesh.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I would strongly advise, and this is standard operating procedure anyhow, but make sure you do a test run of your shrink label from the vendor who's going to be providing it, because you will find something that goes astray and you'll want to correct it before you get, you know, 500 of them at your dock.
Yeah, perfect. So getting into like kind of the research phase and where we started, I think one of the coolest things we did was, so I took you guys through a bit of a branding questionnaire, and it was probably a bit of revisiting it for you because you guys had done that prior, you know, and had quite a really good strong, I'd say, in that brand ethos of what you guys were. Obviously, you had stuff on the wall. You had things that you were preparing already. We summed it up into these four pillars. I got them here. It was basically the bold elegance, the subtle sophistication, a real emphasis on innovation, and the foundation of tradition. And then we had elevated appeal. And I think those were our things to take the designs and take this vibe that you've already created now, and now how do we bring it into this next stage, correct?
I remember that aha moment when we were sitting down together. It was the bold elegance and subtle sophistication, because that's, you know, what I said a moment ago. You want to create something cool and that you find appealing and rad or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
But you don't want to, or at least we didn't want to ace out people and make them feel like they couldn't be part of the fold because we were too snooty or something.
Yeah, and it goes back to your thing about saying like you want to be everything for everybody, and that's impossible, and that's probably the most unfocused way to go. But you're also saying I want anyone to love my product, and you got to choose a role. You got to choose
precisely.
That. So choosing that personality and everything, you know, is really important. And I love these subtle these hints of where we were, because I think a lot of times I always tell clients, and I even tell my students that I teach, it's like when you look at a brand, you should be able to say, tell me about it in two or three key adjectives, right? Like it should have some communication to the average person looking at it. That's imaginative, or that's adventurous, or that's, you know, scientific, or whatever you want it to be. So, and sometimes I feel like that's what's missing a lot of times in, you know, especially when you guys are very strong and looking at competitors and looking at what's out there. So you're not basically doing anything remotely close and you're finding your own path, correct?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying our best. And what you touched on a moment ago, you can't be everything to everyone, mm-hmm. but in our case, we are very conscientious to not exclude anyone.
Exactly.
And that's where I think, you know, if you follow what's out there right now, and especially I feel like in the last 2 years, we've seen a big shift in branding, especially in craft, where some of the puns are starting to fade and some other things that are, you know, less desirable. You know, because that's the great thing about beer, actually. If you look across the spectrum when it comes to beverages in particular, beer is very inclusionary.
Yeah.
Right? It's very democratic. The very best beer in the world is affordable to virtually anyone. Anyone can get a single serving of the most expensive or the best or whatever you want to regard it as. And, you know, defining your customer and appealing to them, that's great. But not excluding everyone else is what I think should be the objective.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I know it's like even the most high-end, luxurious, best rated, whatever it is, we all have an ability to try it at least, you know?
Right.
Which is really, really cool. When we started this, one of the other things I walked them through is I think it's always really good to have the brand archetype defined as to what your brand would be if they were a person, if they were a personality. And you guys chose the creator. And before I let you kind of go off a little on why and how and what that meant to you, the creator archetype is that visionary. They're kind of the non-conformist, but they're also very authentic. So you walk this line of being like super artistic, maybe even like, you know, different from the rest, but you're authentic to yourself without being like kind of like influenced too much by others. They love this idea of making things happen. What made you guys choose like the creator? What was the key thing about your brand you thought worked there?
Well, one thing I thought was really interesting is when you sent us that survey, Alana and I took it seriously.
Yeah.
I wanted to see just over time, like we've been working on this for so long and
it was a good
I
test.
Flew right through the survey and geez, I was like, wow, this is going to take me some time. I want to think about it. And I'd already obsessed over similar questions enough. And when I saw both of the answers, they were very similar.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of divergence. That, you know, it's like if I rated something a 5, she would have done it a 4 or a 6 or something like that. They're all within a few points of each other. And, you know, going back to your question, though, I don't think we got into this business because we wanted to emulate or follow.
Perfect. Yeah. Why would you do that? Like, honestly.
Right. And that's where, you know, stepping back and looking at what Alana and I separately bring to the table, you know, we enjoy the product and that's an element of it. And then there's the culture that goes with it. And then anytime you start a new business, you have to know, you have to identify what problem am I addressing, right? And just because you have a better mousetrap doesn't mean that it's good enough. And in our case, you know, we wanted to bring great market. We have some creative ideas for beer that we can make that's a little bit different or made in a different way that's beneficial. Environmental stewardship is big for us. And then we also wanted to look at what craft is. And this is very market specific. It's not the same everywhere. But when we look at tap rooms and what craft is and the inclusive factor for different patrons coming from different walks of life. And that was something that I think was very interesting to Alana. You know, she wanted to make a beautiful environment that everyone feels welcome, that you can walk in and it's a welcoming, happy place to be.
Yeah.
And that's our tap room. And that's something that is, you know, kind of welded into our brand. It's not just enough to have good beer and you certainly can't follow others. There's no benefit or motivation out there in the world. There's lots of motivation, but there's certainly no benefit in trying to just emulate someone else. You won't get anywhere.
And I see that a lot. And it's kind of a shame that, you know, you think you're putting all this time and effort into doing it. Why are you just being so heavily? And I get it. Maybe they're not being guided in the right way or they haven't gone through this process before. They're being so heavily influenced by the rest that they're just following rather than creating it on their own.
Well, it's difficult though, because this is an industry that is stuffed full of passion projects.
Yeah.
And that's great. Like, that's what's so rad about it.
Yeah.
We did some recent collaborations that we could maybe touch on later, but one of them was about our origin story and me being a home that made that leap of faith. And there's a lot of that in this industry, which I'm very supportive of and think is super cool. And those guys and those individuals make incredible beer. There's, you know, the one thing that keeps me up at night is bad beer, not proliferation of breweries. But and many of them, you know, in order to open a brewery, it takes a little capital. So they've been successful in some field or another. But operating a brewery and operating was really a manufacturing outfit. And then the hospitality arm of it and making all these things come together with a clear vision and the stewardship to run the place. That's what I think separates the breweries that are really going to excel and those that are not going to thrive quite as well.
Yeah, gotcha. Talking about the can specifically, what are you happy with the way, let's say it's the where we're very close to this end result. We know what it's going to look like. We're kind of doing the fine tuning right now. What makes you happy about it? What are you looking at it and kind of going like, these are the things that really stand out to you that are working well?
I would say there's three elements off the top of my head mm-hmm. that jump out at me. One is the utilization of the trademark marquee.
Yes.
For those that have never seen our place look us up, we were very fortunate to find a building that had a pre-existing 35-foot-tall blade marquee.
Yeah.
It was full of pigeon poop and honeybees. we restored that, and we installed neon letters that says trademark with a B at the bottom and a little hexagon. So our thing of being able to embrace the hexagon, which is kind of, we decided, we're going with the hex. All right.
Yeah.
It's going everywhere.
Live with it. Yeah, it's there.
Thing, like once you, if you decide on it, you got to go.
Perfect, 100%. Yeah.
So we were able to incorporate the marquee, which is kind of a signature look for our place. And if we're ever fortunate enough to have another location, this will always be home. This is always the origin. So we were able to incorporate that. We were able to incorporate the hexagon. The creating a eye-catching design was very important, obviously, and playing to do something different too. It's you want to do something different, and then
not finally, foreign, and not foreign. You know what I mean? Like I always love that different, but not foreign. It's got to be something maybe you've never seen, but not be so dramatically, strikingly off that it doesn't work.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that there is a small segment out there that I think is just automatically drawn to whatever is the most radically different. However, that can be off-putting to others, and that kind of goes back to the exclusionary factor we discussed earlier. And then the final element, though, of the can is just communicating the important information.
Yeah.
Who we are, like, who's making the beer, and what type of beer is it? So who we are and what's in the can.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the different segments of consumers, you've got some that they know they like IPAs, and they're like, oh, it's an IPA. Well, I haven't heard a trademark, but I'll give it a shot.
Yep.
And there's others that say, hey, that looks like a trademark can. Oh, it's a Berliner Weiss. That's cool.
There you go.
And then there's that other person that's going to say, hey, I know that brewery or I know that style, but there's three IPAs. And they're going to dig that one level deeper to find out, oh, is it tropical? Is it piney and dank or whatever it is, right?
Yes.
So prioritizing that information is huge for us. And I think that's all of these things have come together really well. And that's what we're really excited for.
Perfect. So moving forward, how do you see the rest of your kind of can strategy moving forward? Like limited editions, other different things that you're thinking of doing?
Right.
Kind of where do you see, hopefully the building blocks have been set. What's next?
So it's tough to say exactly. I think, in part because we're not entirely sure and, maybe a little bit, we want to keep our cards close.
Oh, yeah.
I do know, however, that there's... What we've watched in the tap room is that we have a handful of beers that are really accelerating. We've got a Helles Lager that is just killing it.
Nice.
It's unique in the market. It's very, very popular. When we first created the brewery, like, oh, we're going to do this many cores and this many seasonals and this many specialties. Well, you throw all that out.
Yeah.
You got to start making beer and see what's selling and then catch your breath. And what we found is we've got a handful of products that are just absolutely slaying it with very loyal consumers that love them.
Good.
So those are the products that are most likely to make it into a core lineup. And we do know that we want to keep our core lineup tight.
Yeah.
That's where I see the utilization of the design that you've created and, making subtle variations on that. For those that haven't seen the can yet, I'm not sure when this is going to be broadcast, but when you look at the can, we're dealing with a hexagon pattern, right? So we can play with the palette that's in there. We can play with other palettes of color as well as the text that's on it. So if we were to end up with maybe 4 to 6 of those for whatever products, rise to be the cream of the crop for core, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And then going one level beyond that and dealing with, seasonals or one-offs or things like that, that's the part we just don't know yet. It's very important to us to, I think, try to step up our art game, arts very important to us. That's kind of another discussion altogether, but step up our game, but never abandon the ethos of the brand.
Yeah.
And that's going to become the next challenge. Is say, okay, well, now we're ready to do, we want to do a one-off, but we still want it to have that familiar element to someone that doesn't really know us that well, but they're familiar with us, that they can, when they're cruising the aisle, they're just saying, oh, hey, that looks familiar. And then they'll take that second glance and go, oh, I remember those guys. I'm going to give this a shot.
Yeah, it's like that little intrigue about what makes someone kind of go. I spend my time now, like if any time I'm out shopping for beer, I will observe others and just look and see. And I'm talking more like in a spot like BevMo or Total Wine where they have nothing but the can to speak for about that brand, right? And I just want to see what they gravitate to. And of course, I'll push them to my clients sometimes as a little nudge. As soon as I see some trademark showing up, I'll be there with a nice big shirt on. But I love watching like what makes them gravitate to it. And I think this core brand idea, like the strength of it is the fact that each has its own, let's call it color vibe or the changing elements that change per can. But more importantly, a company has to look at the entire family because you get to create what seems to be like a store within a store with your own brand.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You know, what do you feel as far as any brewer out there that's not doing this? What are the advantages here? What would you stress to these people that like why it's so important to look at your core brand and make sure you have a signature line look throughout your cans? They change, you know, per flavor and per SKU, but what's the beyond advantage there?
That's a difficult question to answer. And sometimes when questions like this come up, I try to look outside of beer.
Yeah.
And automotive is always one of my favorites because, you know, especially in California, like we're all in the car all the time. And even if you don't know cars, you kind of know cars, right?
Yes.
And there are people out there that don't know anything about cars, but at a glance, oh, that's a Honda. They don't know what model it is, but they know it's a Honda or Mercedes or whatever it might be. And that's a fair analogy for the value of continuity in your brand, which has nothing to do with everything being the same.
No.
But it's continuity. And when it comes to, I'm thinking of other brands that are outside of the California market. There's one in Illinois who, they make great beer. I've always found their branding like totally flabbergasting because it's, I always know it's them, so they got the continuity right, but man, is it hard to figure out, is it actually them, or what the heck's in the bottle? You know, so maybe I'm not their customer, but anyhow, having the continuity is very important because that's what's going to make it easier on your consumers. And you know, if you want to challenge your customers, challenge their palates, do it in the tap room.
There you go, that's the way to say it.
I don't know, but like to do it on the shelf sometimes and give them a homework assignment to go find your product, don't do that.
No, you don't want to confuse, and all you want to do is be defined and be strong. And but again, if you've done all that work at the forefront with strategy, communication, the voice, all those things, you know, this is hopefully what I think our presentation at the show is going to prove, is that here's just some simple stepping stones. And once you're there, what you wind up with is something so successful and solid. And it's, I think there's a proud moment because this thing is standing for your brand, possibly maybe outside of your brewery one day when it's going to be in stores. You know,
that's always the objective, or at least it is for us. There's another brewer local in our market, actually, who shared some time with me a while ago. And he's like, you know, people are going to come to your place. They're going to have a beer. And that's going to be great. And we didn't even talk about merch, but he goes, you know, there's going to be this moment, though, where they're going to take home a growler, because this was so long ago. We were still talking about glass, because you're going to sell them a growler and they're going to get home one evening and they're going to open their refrigerator door and they're going to see your brand there. And now you've invaded their home.
Yeah.
and that's the Coca-Cola moment, right? Where it's like your signature look, your trademark, as it would be, is to them kind of ubiquitous and understood. And that familiarity is what can really allow a brand, your company, to accelerate.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, touching on what you said a moment ago, you know, identifying all those things and defining who you are, you could be wrong and these things can change, but taking the challenge as a business person to say, okay, who do I want us to be, and or who should we be, and writing those things down in sticking to the script for a moment, or at least being conscious of the script. And if you don't like it, you can abandon it and change it, whatever it is. But if you're going freeform the entire time, you're going to be off the rails in a minute.
Yeah.
And your customers won't know what to make of it.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, not only being a beer lover, but like a brander of it. It's so neat to kind of look around and see who's doing it great, who's getting, you see great examples out there that's so influential and so kind of like, it's just, it's such a great spot to be in, especially if you're doing it to the point where you've got this background, you've got this story that you want to tell and you're proud of it. You know, I think it's one of the best things in the world to see it come to life, you know, and have it in someone's hands, someone Instagramming it. Like, I can't wait to see this can being, you know, held up. I mean, we know how it's going to look because of the reflective and the cool jewel tone colors on there and everything. It's going to be awesome to see that kind of stuff happen. You know, that's kind of what you're there for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the crawlers I spoke of a moment ago, the which look really great, and we learned things from them. But those arrived, and I held them in my hand. I was like, "Holy smokes!" like, okay, this is a thing now. How awesome is this? And we got people buying them right out of the door. It's awesome.
I keep looking at even the paper samples and laughing at it and just going like, I catch it in when I'm walking around my office and I see it and I kind of just go like, oh yeah, yeah. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see these things in real life. It's going to be, and I'm assuming, I think we should be good in hopefully having a few, maybe even like one-offs at the show.
I've been in the works. Actually, we'll talk about this later. But I have been talking to our supplier about potentially getting a run.
Great,
we're getting down the wire here, but good they're deal. On board because they want to. They want the recognition, hey, at CCBA, but they also, they're a great supplier, and they support us, which we really appreciate.
Excellent. All right, man. Well, Sterling, this has been fantastic. It's been cool meeting you guys, working with you guys. This has been such a fun freaking project for us as well, so can't wait to share it with everybody, man, but thanks again for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time, Nick, and all your talents. We appreciate it.
Thank you, bro. Thanks.
Okay, so we're back again with Alex and Larissa from Big Sump Brewing. For this particular episode, we're going to dig into a little bit of like the project details for the freshly wrapped seminar that's coming up at the Summit Conference in Long Beach. So yeah, just kind of like, especially I think this is great because you both have not had a whole lot of branding experiences in the background starting your brewery and up until now. And I imagine that also maybe not as much experience going through the process, you know? So I think this will be kind of fun to kind of hear your side of things a little bit. So, yeah, so we've been working together for, you know, I'd say probably a bit over a month now. Going through a bunch of different processes in regards to like research phases and, like visual explorations and stuff like that. So, I'm just kind of like curious overall, like what has the experience been like for you both?
Well, I'd say really eye-opening, to be honest. We've gone through a lot of exercises. Thank you, Ryan, that you've led us through that I think have really helped us identify who we are as Big Stump. What one, Alex and I envision ourselves and our space to be, but then more so getting reflection back from regulars, our own team, and people that are in the community that have been a part of Big Stump for the last 3 years, and then also new faces that come in every day. So it's been, I guess, a bit refreshing just to really find, just to go through this process and help identify what we want other people to see us as, and then their perspective, what they see us as. And I'd say overall, it was pretty congruent, and we found a lot of similarities, and then helped us really put some words and actions together that could help us express Big Stump.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's great. So, I'll just kind of start going through a little bit of the you know, kind of some of the practices we went through and the kind of the different phases and stuff. And for anyone out there listening, if you are planning to attend the California Craft Summit Conference in Long Beach, we will be having a seminar. That's what this is all about, called Freshly Wrapped. And yeah, you'll be able to see all this a bit more in depth and with visuals. So you can break out of this audio format, and hopefully be able to see you there. It would be great to have you join and kind of check out the visual aspects of this as well. So I'd like to kind of dig into the steps we've taken a little bit so far and get your feedback on that. And for our audience out there. So in the very beginning, I kind of put together a little bit of a proposal for you that would be like a standard proposal I would offer to a client. And then kind of like an agreement, which would be kind of just like a contract of sorts, just to go through the full experience with you. And then also moving from that point, I think since you hadn't had a lot of branding and you've been open for a good amount of time, we wanted to do a bit of like patron research and really hear from your customers and your employees about what they think of the Big Stump brand. And so essentially we created a kind of a questionnaire asking your patrons, like, what are three individual words that describe the Big Stump? So I'd love to hear how that went for you. Were you surprised by the reactions? What kind of reactions did you get?
So you want to start with that?
Yeah. Well, it actually made me feel really good that we're on the right track. I think a lot of the words and the descriptions we got back are really important.
Friendly,
yeah. Intimate, a good place to take a day, comfortable, quality were some of the words that people used. And for us, that's how we feel Big Stump is and want Big Stump to feel and be towards other people, a place of community and inclusion. And so that was a great exercise for us. There wasn't really anything that stood out as a surprise, or there was no shock value. I don't know if people were just being very kind, but
yeah, my family friendly, communal table tap room with Super Nintendos is not edgy, as it turns out, right? Yeah.
Right. But that helped us recognize what other people saw and really what the space that Alex and I have always tried to create, to just identify and just and help establish that's what it is. So that was a great step forward for us to just go through that exercise, because it hadn't been something we'd done before, for that validation.
Yeah.
And to know that, especially with the new Napa Tap Room coming very soon, just how we want to continue that vibe, those feelings, that space in our next location.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think, this is one thing I think that, it didn't cost us any money, right? And that's, and I'm sure you probably try to talk to your customers and patrons, your regulars as much as you can to make it, understand that you're on the right track and everything. But I think, especially, it's an opportunity, asking that question to like boil it down to one word, it's an opportunity to see if you're somehow totally missing the mark. And that might be for something that's a more specific brand. Like if you were trying to be a surfing kind of brewery brand, and people will come back and like, oh no, we see you as a nerdy scooter brand or something, that would obviously be totally off mark. But it's just an opportunity to get feedback from your customers and kind of analyze and see if you're in the right direction. And then also if you see some overlap, like you're saying, that's when you're hitting the mark, is when you see some overlap there. So going from that too, I also kind of wanted to dig into the why question of, why did you start a brewery? Why are you the people to run this brewery, and why does it matter? Kind of the kind of core of like what's going on. And I think you got back with some really great questions, some quite great answers, kind of discussing, how you left your corporate job and how you met and how beer and breweries played a role in that. Can you kind of maybe explain a little bit like what you thought was like the why about why you started the brewery?
Yeah. I mean, I think definitely there's a lot tied up in just the food culture we grew up in, but you know, I think a large portion of it also is like the chance to be your own boss and work on something you're passionate about and, you know, create something artisanal that, you know, you're excited to get up in the morning and work really hard for.
And for us, that was beer. It was something that we've really evolved a lot of our relationship around and obviously a passion project. So it was something that we were excited and felt positive about.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's exactly. And so I think we kind of will build on this a little bit here, but you know, I think with the research questions we asked, you know, your patrons, kind of getting to the idea that, you know, you're friendly and welcoming and stuff like that. And then moving on to now the why question and having you being a part of this thing of like kind of how beer and breweries was kind of a part of your relationship and kind of like you would visit breweries and all that stuff like that. And that being kind of an important thing for your lives. And then also leaving a corporate job to start your brewery and kind of having a something you're more excited about. And so I think that's kind of building a little bit onto the idea we've moved forward with for your branding. So then the next thing we did was like a kind of a brand persona. And I'd love to kind of have you explain a little bit of like, a brand persona being like if your brand was a person, what would that person be like? You know, what kind of car would they drive, or what are their interests, or what kind of watch would they wear, what kind of shoes would they wear, or and you can even think of this as like your ideal customer too. But yeah, I'd love to kind of get your then perspective a little bit on who you think you're like your ideal customer is, who your kind of brand persona would be.
Well, for us, this was kind of a fun exercise because it really gave us some looking out to the inside of our brewery and who are the people that come through and what do they represent? What do they look like? Who are they? What do they like to do? And for us, we really weren't able to come up with just one person. And I think a large part of that is where we are in Sacramento. Our location is Midtown Sacramento, and we have a great sense of community and a lot of locals. There's also, we're close to the Capitol, so there's a lot of young professionals.
So yeah, the way the staff kind of actually broke this question down, because we asked them directly, was they thought there were three segments of people. Two are kind of local segments, but basically they would identify that there's kind of a craft beer nerd segment that is there for a like specific new release or specific style of beer. So like in particular, we have a really robust sour program and are fairly well known in at least our area for that. And so we get a draw from people that are really into sour beers, which is a more niche style, into the tap room to try those, particularly when it's like we're releasing 18-month Pinot Noir barrel-aged beer or something like that, right? And so that's one segment. We then have just the people that kind of live around us in the Midtown and downtown Sacramento area. So like your true local segment, people that are walking to the brewery and meeting friends there and kind of sitting at our 10-person tables with large groups and stuff like that. And that's partially location. And then a lot of, you know, the branding ties into, you know, getting those people to come back and spend more time in the space as well, right? And then the third is then just, as Larissa was saying, kind of people coming in town for conventions and stuff like that, that maybe it's their first time in Sacramento and maybe we're not going to see them for 5 or 10 years. And that's been really interesting for me personally, because maybe it doesn't touch so much on the can stuff, but I went through and did a bunch of search engine optimization stuff and got us into the, you know, the top three results for like a lot of relevant search terms in Sacramento. And we saw within a month an immediate uptick in just people that were out of towners coming through the tap room. And so, you know, that stuff really does work.
That's great. Yeah. That's fantastic to hear. And that's, man, that's another, man, we could have another podcast episode just on the, on that, yeah. Right?
And, you know, the thing is, when you're worried about keeping the lights on in your first 6 months, you often don't have the emotional capacity to do any search engine optimization.
Right. No, that's totally for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think kind of boiling that down a little bit in regards to like the kind of brand persona, some of the takeaways, you know, I think were that, you know, kind of the idea that you have, being that you're in downtown Sacramento, you're close, you know, fairly close to the Capitol, is that, you know, you've got these kind of professional, you know, professional folks, they get off work, they come to the brewery, kind of, loosen their tie, roll up their sleeves, maybe, want to like relax in a comfortable environment, but have some really quality beer, but in a slightly more relaxed environment. So, and then also kind of the idea that, you know, you might have these professionals, on their day job from 9 to 5, but on the weekend, you know, they're ready to get out, maybe drive up to Tahoe, do some hiking or do some mountain biking or, you know, so they've got these professional jobs, but they also, like to enjoy a good beer out in nature, or just kind of just get away from the downtown, get away from the 9 to 5 corporate kind of thing. So did that sound about right?
Yeah. And our locals crowd, which is the bulk of our business, is those types of people. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so then I think that also kind of, again, it's nice because that ties into your beer as well. Right. So you've got this really quality beer that, you know, if you're somebody who's a craft beer nerd, or if you're somebody who has kind of some professional status that wants to kind of uphold some of that status, like you've got that quality liquid, you know, and then a can or bottle that, that people can relate to and want to like share with their friends. Great. So from those research phases, and building on that kind of like the patron research and kind of like why you and who you are, and then kind of building these brand personas based on your customers and all that stuff like that, then we were able to decide on that direction. And so what I did at that point was I put together a set of, like, I call them brand mood boards or kind of brand boards. And I developed some visual aesthetics for these different kind of niches that would fit within this kind of persona that we discussed. And some of those ideas were, I had a brand style called The Weekender, a brand style called I'm on a Boat, which was kind of like a, you know, you can imagine drinking this beer on a boat. I had a brand style called Modern Traditional and one called Farm to Glass Modern. And so each one of these was kind of a style board, and they were imageries of different existing beer packaging that kind of fit these very niche styles, but was all within this kind of persona that we talked about and developed. So what was that experience like for you? And just what did you think when we were taking a look at these different brand styles and how they fit to the personas?
Well, I think for each of us, it really helped us identify and have a visual on who is our person, what are we as a brand, and what direction should we go?
Yeah. And I mean, for my end, because between the art students and now, I did all the label design with some degree of success. But I guess that's arguable, the degree to which. But, you know, for me, it was a little more emotional kind of letting go of this process. And, you know, I think at something just like as our company has gotten bigger, I get further away from the brew floor and more into, you know, strategy concept kind of parts of the business as we continue to grow.
So, yeah, I'd say the visuals, though, were the first leverage to help us realize how powerful the branding and stylistically the direction to take and create for ourselves.
Yeah, great. I think, you know, and I think doing all of these research steps and developing this, you know, these brand personas and then from that developing these styles, like brand style boards and stuff. One of the benefits is, you know, which is something we'll get into more in the seminar at the Summit conference, is that you now have something to anchor the design aesthetic to, you know, developing your brand more. And I guess what I mean by that is that a lot of times it can be really easy to just be like, let's design a cool label. Like, all right, let's hire this designer. Let's hire this artist. Knock out this label. Like, wow, that looks awesome. And then in, you know, maybe like 4 or 6 months or something, if you're still selling that beer, you may not have, you might be like, oh, you know what, that looks dated, or I don't really like this as much as I thought I did. But if you're doing this work, developing this backbone, the design is no longer just like, this looks cool at that moment of time. It's more like, oh, we picked these colors because it fits our brand persona and it fits this, you know, this brand style that we've achieved. Like, oh no, this font choice, it wasn't because we thought it looked cool. This font choice was because it fit this persona and our ideal customers. So I think it's a great way to approach it, because then your brand, your aesthetic of your packaging, your branding then kind of has meaning behind it. So.
Yeah, it definitely created more of a storyline to follow.
Right. Right. Yeah. So then hopefully then the idea, right, is that then your customers pick up on that and it kind of builds a stronger brand affinity and a stronger brand overall. So, well, cool. So I think just to close that out then, I kind of like would love to hear kind of what your plans are based on what we've worked on in regards to moving forward with this work. And there's an option of to do like the kind of high end bottles for you. And where do you think you'd like to go from this point forward, just in general?
Yeah, I mean, clearly we need to, you know, tie everything into some form of a brand family.
Yeah, we
particularly figured, with core product lines that aren't going anywhere.
I think together with you, we really identified that was something as big stump. What we wanted to do was not have just one-off cool labels that are going to be that draw attention for one beer, but create a brand family and create a synergy and an aesthetic that we could use go forward for different releases for different beers, whether that's on the Pilsner entry level, the hazy IPA that's super popular, or a very elevated sour bottled beer. We want to be able to continue that feeling, the scheme, the identification, and the emotional connection across everything.
Yeah. Great. That's perfect. Yeah, I think that's a great spot to leave it. Yeah, so definitely if you're in the Sacramento area, make sure you stop by and then check out Big Stump. Say hi to Alex and Larissa. If you're in the Napa or Bay Area, definitely keep an eye out for the progress they've got going on with their new tap room. And yeah, excited to do the seminar thing and have you join me there. Hope to see some of you listeners out there. It would be great to be able to have you to stop by. Yeah, Alex and Marissa, thank you so much for just being like a great part of this project and being so willing to work with, you know, and really dig into this deeply and really uncover a lot of stuff. So. Thank you both for joining and being a part of the seminar. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You've been incredible to work with, and we've really appreciated your time and focus and attention.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan.